This is the Rain Report. Unless you've been living under a rock, you already know about the flap concerning a Florida couple who reportedly intercepted and taped a cellular phone call involving House Speaker Republican Newt Gingrich. The recording was turned over to Democrat James McDermott, a member of the House Ethics Committee, who then turned it over to the New York Times. Just what federal laws were broken is up for debate, however, according to Ben Cobb, KC5CW, editor and publisher of the Spectrum Guide, a handbook for the radio spectrum, a telecommunication reporter for several industry publications in Washington, D.C., and expert on the ECPA, the Electronic Communications Privacy Act, which serves as a privacy umbrella today for various radio services, including cellular phones. Cobb says there are four issues to consider in this scenario.
First, the modification of a receiver. Two, the reception of a radio signal or the interception of a radio signal. And it's important that we use these words carefully. Three, the recording of a telephone call.
A fourth issue concerns the unauthorized disclosure of a radio transmission to parties that were not part of that transmission. Section 605 of the Communications Act.
That's a very old provision. It dates back to 1912. Believe it or not, the old Radio Act of 1912, which at the time of the ECPA hearings in the mid-80s, 85, 86, scanner listeners, shortwave listeners, hams, argued during those hearings that this provision was enough. It was enough to say in the law that however you might receive a signal, if it is not intended for you, you should not disclose it. Everyone was comfortable with that. And if there was a cellular reception in this case, and if it was disclosed to the press and recordings were made and so forth, maybe this provision was also implicated. So I'm not saying that the action that is alleged here was or was not a crime, but I'm saying that there is a separate provision of law that provides that thou shalt not disclose what one has heard. And I think that is a sufficient thing to protect people, but that in the House of Representatives, there will be yet another round of hearings on whether or not we need to have more laws or tougher laws about radio communications interception. And you can remember, Hap, all the hearings during the early 80s. I mean, there was just hearing after hearing after hearing in the House and the Senate and all of these congressmen getting exercised. I remember vividly when representatives of the amateur community and scanner community stated very simply to congressmen that radio wave doesn't know whether or not someone has intended or not intended it to be received. It has a scientific nature. It obeys only the laws of physics, and radio waves go everywhere. And a prominent congressman on a House committee said, then the laws of physics stop at the doors of Congress.
I remember something about that.
So, unfortunately, we may get even tougher laws. We may get the threshold of what is a crime committed with a radio lowered because of this case. It may be easier to go to prison now. We may all have to have a lawyer sitting with us at the radio to tell us what frequency is lawful this week and which one isn't.
Do you feel the Justice Department is going to prosecute or has the grounds to prosecute the couple who allegedly intercepted the cellular call and consequently just happened to have a tape recorder handy to record it, A. B, the disclosure of that call to Jim McDermott on the Ethics Committee? And what about the New York Times publishing, disclosing part of that phone call. Aren't all three, in this case, culpable?
Well, I can only speculate. I mean, this is purely speculation. There's a long tradition of freedom of the press, including the publication of information that a reporter or a publisher obtains through any means. They may obtain it through a deep throat, somebody who meets someone in a parking lot and gives some confidential information, a confidential source. So for that reason, I don't expect prosecution of a newspaper. And for another reason, that newspapers are typically published by big companies with well-compensated lawyers. Does the couple alleged to have participated in this have enough money for good legal representation? In my experience, it has a great deal more to do with that than on whether somebody did or did not commit this or that activity. I'm not convinced that the ECPA was violated. I'm not convinced necessarily that these other things were violated. You know, the Attorney General and the Director of the FBI are looking into this, and we have to wait and see what they come up with, although I think there's every reason to have to be skeptical even with what they come up with. You have to remember that the FBI was against the ECPA in the beginning. The FBI recommended very clearly incidental reception of a cellular transmission, that is a reception that was not in conjunction with committing a crime, not be a crime. And the FCC was absolutely on record the same way. And the FCC wrote to the congressmen who were contemplating the ECPA at the time, general counsel of the FCC, that this is a radio transmission. And not only are radio transmissions typically able to be received and there's no need for additional regulation, but that if it were made illegal to receive these communications, and there, we have to remember there are other types that are allegedly or supposedly protected by the ECPA, paging and other types of transmissions, that this would make it more difficult for the FCC to resolve interference problems.
I'm speaking with Ben Cobb, KC5CW, about the flap surrounding the taping of a cellular phone call involving Speaker of the House Newt Gingrich, its release to the House Ethics Committee, and subsequent publication in the New York Times. I'll conclude this interview in a moment. This is the Rain Report.
Under the ECPA, the way it was formerly written, if the transmitter was owned by a common carrier, it was causing interference, then you could only receive the transmission long enough to identify the source of interference, and then you had to turn it off, which is completely insane. If you take paging transmitters, for example, of which there are probably hundreds of thousands, often operating at high power, they often are the source of interference to things like home television and stereo. You're trying to watch a television program or listen to music, and every so often it gets blasted by some paging transmission. You are supposed to turn it off. I mean, it's just ridiculous. And, of course, the law has been rewritten not to make it more logical, but to make it less logical. Now, all forms of radio communication are not readily accessible to the public unless they're in that list. So I predict a lot of arm waving, a lot of flag waving, and very little technical, factual competence about what actually occurred. I'm not optimistic about the outcome of this matter for this couple. I'm concerned that the hearings that will be taking place will be essentially for public show and to demonstrate that Congress and law enforcement and industry are going to come down hard on anyone who is listening to a program or listening to a transmission that they ought not to be listening to. And that there's going to be a great deal of press releases and announcements and a lot of reporting to further drive the radio hobbyist underground. I don't expect any competent testimony or witness to appear before the House Committee at these hearings to represent the point of view that the emperor has no clothes, that any amateur, even a novice, you do not have to understand a whole lot about radio to know that a cellular phone is an FM radio transmitter. It has some sophisticated switching, it has a lot of base stations, and it has an auto patch, but that's all it is. You can tune into it just like any other FM broadcast. Now, the assertion is made, it's not a broadcast, it's not intended for the reception by the public, it's someone's private phone call. And to that I say, the radio wave doesn't know that. An FM transmission all over the city is an FM transmission all over the city. And in effect, that is what you have with cellular. You can argue that, well, it's not all over the city, it's just this part of the city. It doesn't make a heck of a lot of difference. It's going through your body, it's going into your home, it's going into your radio. And if you want privacy, you should purchase it. Use a digital TCS phone. These are available all over the country now. Use a digital cellular phone. Cellular carriers are very quickly adopting digital technology and selling digital phones. These are quite secure, thank you. And the service fee is not particularly more than using an analog phone. The technology is available. The choice is available. And no amount of laws will save anyone, even the Speaker of the House, from one's own foolishness.
I've been speaking with Ben Cobb, KC5CW, telecommunication reporter for several industry publications in Washington, D.C., editor and publisher of The Radio Guide, a handbook for the radio spectrum, and expert on the ECPA, the Electronic Communications Privacy Act. For The Rain Report, I'm Hap Holly, KC9RP.